In the hills of North Carolina, since the time of the early settlers, a strange light has been witnessed near the top of Brown Mountain. To this day, no one can explain the mystery of the Brown Mountain light.
North Carolina, perhaps more than any other state, has an abounding treasury of folklore. The Old North State's mysterious occurrences go from the Brown Mountain Lights of western North Carolina all the way across the state to Maco Station, home of the famous Maco Station Light. History confirms the gruesome death of Joe Baldwin, the conductor that was killed at Maco Station in the spring of 1867. Legend has it that it was a rainy spring night, and Joe was anxious to be home with his family. The time had come for Joe to make his rounds through the cars toward the front of the train. As he started to step from the caboose to the next car, he suddenly realized there was nothing there. Somehow, Joe's car, the last car of the train, had come uncoupled and was running loose. His first thought was of the train that followed his own. He knew that somehow he must signal them. He had to let them know that there was a wild car in front of them. Joe ran back through his car and out on the platform on the back of the caboose. There he started waving his conductor's lantern from side to side. But for some unknown reason, the engineer of the oncoming train never heeded the warning signal. And when the trains collided, Joe suffered the gory fate of losing his head. No one is quite sure when Joe began his nightly trips down what is now the Atlantic Coastline Track. But it is said that Joe is still there looking for his head. We visited with a lady who has witnessed the Maco light many times. She was able to give us this account of one of her visits.
My favorite episode occurred, I'd say it was in 1965 or 1964. And as I said, I've been down there many times and I've observed it quite a few times. But this was the most spectacular observation. There were six of us and we went down, got there about 9 o'clock in the evening in the winter time. It was cold. And there was a better than half full moon. We got out of the car, and almost immediately on getting there, some people were there before us, and they said they had seen it quite a few times. There was a young lady in the car, and she was scared absolutely to death. She was just shivering, and I don't think it was from advances from her boyfriend. She said she was getting out of there. She didn't like it. And so they left, and we got out of the car and started walking down the tracks. And almost immediately we saw the light. And the first couple of times it appeared, it came off I can't remember if it was from the left or the right, because I've seen it appear to swing onto the tracks from both the left and the right, down in the swampy, near the trestle where the swamp is on the train. And it would come up toward us and appear to be moving quite rapidly and then blink off. And as I said, it would start out as a red color and be very faint and come up towards quite rapidly and change from the red color to a large, go through orange and to a white, bright white light. And then it would blink off and then it would start over again. And this happened. And we started walking down the track because it was occurred so frequently, it'd blink off and almost immediately start back, coming back down the track. So we decided we'd walk down to where it, so we could get a better look at where it came on the track. So we walked all the way, nearly down to the train trestle. And the closer we got, it would not, it would just swing onto the track, and the closer we got to this trestle, then it would just, come up about 30 yards of us and blink off. And so we said, we're getting too close, we're scaring it off. Words. And we started walking back down the track. And we got approximately halfway back down the track, maybe not halfway, and it came toward us, and it changed from the red color to the white color, and it was easily as bright as a half full moon, and it was just as bright, and it blinked off. We were turned around looking at it, and it blinked off, And then we said, well, it's gone now. And we turned back around to walk up the track, and it blinked on in front of us. And went speeding down the track toward the intersection where the roads cross and where the road crosses the railroad track, and went up toward the mercury vapor light, and it was fully as bright as that light, and got up there close and blinked off. It did not appear to swerve off the side of the track. It just went off on the track. And this is rather a frightening episode. We were almost unbelieving, so we walked back down to the car, and it just kept right on for quite a long time, and then we left about midnight. As I said, I never read this before in my perusal of the literature on the subject, and the fact that the light actually does turn, starts out as a red color, a pinpointed red light, and changes through the spectrum to a bright white light.
Because of just this sort of an incident, engineers on the Atlantic coastline have mistaken Joe's signal for a real signal. As a result, the railroad has ordered the signalmen at Mako Station to use two lanterns, one red and one green.
Most of the literature says that the best time to go see the light is on a cloudy, misty night. And I have seen it on cloudy, misty nights. But as I said, this was a brilliant, beautiful night. The stars were all out. You see the Milky Way and the moon. Was, as I said, about half full, more than half full.
If the light itself isn't enough of a mystery for you, Mrs. Atkinson was able to give us this bit of information.
This time we observed this particular phenomenon. I have observed it almost every time that when we saw the light, that it got bright enough and close enough to us for it to be seen. That is, changed from the red color and got close enough to us to change to the white, where we can see it quite clearly, that the light casts a glow on the tracks, on the steel tracks. And the strange part of the phenomenon, that seems pretty logical, the strange part of it is that when it blinks off, the light on the track blinks off before the light itself goes out, which is, this was the hairiest part of all, as far as I was concerned, because this didn't seem to make too much sense to me.
Mrs. Atkinson had this to say about Joe's ghost.
Well, legend, of course, is that Joe Baldwin is an unhappy spirit, and he is, I assume, it doesn't seem to me that he's trying to look for his head. It seems to me like he's recreating the scene of when it happened. That is, trying to warn the other train that his car had come loose and so on. But, you got my little theory again?
That's fine.
My theory is that there is something causing this. I'm quite sure that it's there. I've seen it enough times to know that I'm, in my own mind, convinced that it's not a trick or some easily explainable cause for it. There have been many scientific attempts to determine the cause of it, and as far as I know, none of them have been fruitful. Some people have theorized that it's a gas, and somehow or another, a gas, fluvia, floats down the track and causes this particular light. And they've not been able to, through using chemical detectors, to find anything. The Army, the Marine Corps, I know, went down during the World War II because it was affecting the blackout. You've probably heard this story. It was affecting the blackout along the Wilmington coast. And they tried to stop it, and they couldn't. And they couldn't find out. At least this is a story I've heard, they had men going with guns to try to shoot it and kill it, whatever it was, and try to do away with it. And, of course, they were unsuccessful. And it did affect their blackout during the war. My mother told me this story, but I didn't read it anywhere.
You're down from around that area, aren't you?
My family was living there during the war, mm-hmm. World War II. My own theory is that there are, as I was saying, there are certain phenomena in the world that we cannot explain with our science as it stands today. I don't believe in witches and ghosts, but I do believe there are some phenomena that we have not so far been able to detect or understand. It causes this type of activity. The poetologist, no, that's not how you pronounce it. The phenomena where tables float in the air and houses appear to be haunted and you hear the noises and so on. These are well documented, and there is something there. I'm sure you've read these things. And apparently there is something causing it. There have been explanations put forth that it's perhaps an adolescent in the area. The Bell Witch case, I don't know if you've ever heard of that. The study I read on it, theorized that the teenage child in the household was actually causing these horrible occurrences that they were blaming on this Bell Witch. And his theory is that whenever you have this type of an occurrence, and he had studied many of them, that there is some adolescent in the area. And some way, there's some force in the human being that some people are able to control unconsciously. And this is what causes this type of phenomena. You've heard of telepathy, and so of course some people believe in it explicitly, and very, very much so. And so there apparently is something we don't understand, and this is my way I explain it.
You prefer to look at it this way than Joe Baldwin's ghost?
Well, I don't think it's that, and I know it's there, and I prefer to think that, you know, just block it out of my mind and say that it's not happening, which is what most people do. If you talk to them, they say, well, there's some physical cause like gas.
Joe has been a source of nightly entertainment for everyone from starry-eyed lovers to serious-minded investigators, but probably most of all for the adventurous teenagers of eastern North Carolina.
My next-door neighbor, when he was a teenager, went down to Wilmington, down to Apex. It's near a little place called Apex. And he was in a panel wagon. He had about four other boys with him. And as I said, he was a teenager, and they were practicing drinking. And they were all rather looped. And they got down there early in the morning, about 2 o'clock. And he tells us to be the truth, and he's not the type of person that lies, and he wouldn't lie to me about it. And he said, and I have talked to the other boys who were with him, and they all agreed with what he said, that they were down there, and they saw the light. They didn't just see the light, they heard the train, and they heard the crash, and they left, and they came straight home, and didn't drink again for another month. But as I said, he swears, and he told it with the expression about his face that you had belief that he believed it, that he had actually heard the train, the old-fashioned type train, come down the track, and that he heard the crash, and he saw the light arc across. They said they saw the light arc, come down this toward the intersection down that way.
So far as anyone knows, the Mako Station light is a harmless force. The only danger in going to see the light would lie in the fact that the Atlantic coastline still uses this track, and many people have mistaken the light from an eastbound freight for Joe Baldwin's waving lantern. The light seems to follow no particular sequence as to when it appears. Some nights it makes its run down the track every 5 or 10 seconds, and then some we do know, and know for sure, is that on almost any given night, the light at Mako Station, and just maybe Joe Baldwin's ghost, repeats its historic trip down the Atlantic Coastline Railroad, about 14 miles from Wilmington.